It's good to see everybody this Lord's Day morning. We've had a great morning being able to engage in our 9:30 worship and the Bible class this last hour. I appreciate everyone's presence and the manner in which we've been worshiping God in this worship hour. We've been announcing for some weeks now that today we're going to study, we're going to talk about what the Bible says about teenagers dating. I'm sure that I've got everyone's attention with a topic like this. I've already been asked if we were going to study senior dating. And that's not a part of this sermon. I said if it's necessary, we can preach on that down the road. But today, we're going to be talking about our young people. We're going to be talking about teenagers and talking about dating. I want to start with Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 9 in the forefront. Get these words in our ears, in our hearts. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9, and the New American Standard Update version reads, "Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood, and follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things." Youth can be a very exciting time of life. It is a time to explore, a time to experience. It's a time to spread your wings, to find yourself, and to prove yourself. It is a time, as Solomon says, to follow the impulses of the heart and the desires of the eyes. And in our culture today, dating can be a part of this time of life. You know, the Bible doesn't mention dating specifically. It doesn't mention teenagers either. But it doesn't mention dating. Dating and courtship are social customs that have developed since the Bible times. This fact alone does not make them sinful or unauthorized or inappropriate. However, there are some dangers that must be acknowledged and discussed when we talk about dating from a biblical point of view. Dating can be an exciting experience. Spending time with the right person for the right reason can be fun and rewarding. But it is not a time to forget who you are, and it's not a time to forget God. What our passage in Ecclesiastes reminds us is that young people don't get a free pass. While we are encouraged in the days of our youth to follow the impulses of our heart and the desire of our eyes, the Bible says that God will bring us into judgment for the things that we do even in the days of our youth. The Scriptures stress the importance of purity. And that's the approach that I want to take in talking about dating. I want us to look at dating from the aspect of purity. Let's start by reminding ourselves of the importance of being pure before God. Our reading we had just a moment ago from Brother Aiden, 1 Peter chapter 1 and at verse 15, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct." The idea of being holy is to be set aside, to be set apart, to be set above. God is not like anything and everyone else. God is uniquely Himself, and we are to picture God as being holy and set God apart as being holy. But we must do the same thing with ourselves. We must set ourselves apart from this world and be holy and be separate unto God. And that means we must be pure from the contaminants of this world. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And that should be the goal of every Christian, is to one day, for that final eternal day, to be in the presence of God. And that requires us to be pure in heart. We must remain pure in heart. James chapter 1 and verse 27 says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." If 1 John chapter 3 and at verse 3, and everyone who has this hope in him, what hope? The context there is talking about the second coming of Christ and our resurrection and our being with him in a glorified body in heaven forever. If we entertain this hope, then we purify ourselves just as he is pure. So the scriptures place a great emphasis upon purity. And God does this not to deprive you of fun, but to protect you. You know, even in the Old Testament, there is emphasis that is placed upon purity. Remaining pure. Things have to be clean. They can't be contaminated. That was true regarding the things surrounding the tabernacle and temple under the law of Moses. That was stressed in the Old Testament, and it's stressed in the New Testament as well. Why? For our protection. Purity is not old-fashioned. It's not boring. It's not unrealistic, and it's not unfair. When God calls upon his people to be pure, he's doing so, one reason, to protect us so that we can be protected. And that's the approach I want to take in talking about dating. As you are dating, you must remember the importance of remaining pure. And this purity in dating is going to protect you. It's going to protect you in a number of ways. And let's talk about these. For one, purity in dating will protect your heart. Purity will protect your heart. Proverbs chapter 4 and at verse 23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Keep your heart, guard your heart, protect your heart. Your heart is the fountainhead of the spring or the river that is your life. Everything that is a part of your life flows from your heart. And if you don't protect your heart, if you don't keep your heart, if you allow your heart to become contaminated, then every part of your life is going to be contaminated. If your heart has been defiled or damaged by sin, it's going to have an impact upon the kind of person that you become, the kind of person that you are. So you have to protect your heart. Sin has a long-lasting effect upon our hearts. If you develop a taste for the passing pleasures of sin, it's hard to lose that appetite. And when you go out on dates and you begin to spend time with people that a person that you are attracted to, and you begin to give in to romantic feelings and emotional feelings that stir that lust of the flesh, that flesh we talked about in our 9:30 hour, and you develop a taste for that, that's something you're going to battle for the rest of your life. So keep your heart pure from that. Keep your heart from being contaminated. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33 still says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." Don't allow your heart to be corrupted. When you're dating, keep your heart pure. Purity protects your heart. Secondly, purity in dating protects your happiness. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say, especially in the very beginning, about sexual sins. And in Proverbs chapter 6, the man who would foolishly commit adultery is pictured here. And it says of this man, "Wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away." There is a saying, no sin, no regrets. If you don't commit the sin, then you have nothing to regret. But if you commit the sin, then you've got all kinds of problems you've got to deal with. Save yourself, spare yourself of that. Purity protects you. Sexual purity protects your peace of mind so that you don't, at a very young age, have to deal with things like guilt and doubt and disappointment and embarrassment and regret and worry. Purity and having the resolve and the commitment to keep yourself pure will protect your happiness, will protect your peace of mind. But there's more. God calls upon us to be pure because it will protect your body. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This text is too long to put up on a slide, and so let's read these verses together. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to read verses 15 through 20. Now, in the context here, the Apostle Paul is talking about the sin of fornication. He's writing to a church that many of the Christians there used to be idolaters. They used to worship in idols' temples, and a part of worshiping in idols' temples was participating in fornication. And he's apparently, there's some who either had not come out of that completely or were wanting to go back to that, were going back to those idol temples, and so he addresses this sin, the sin of fornication, here in these verses. Let's read verses 15 through 20. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Let's pause right there. The Bible doesn't tell you to get as close to it as you can. The Bible doesn't say go out on a date and as long as you don't go all the way, you're good to go. No. The Bible says you flee from it. When it presents itself, when the opportunity presents itself, you do like Joseph and get out of Potiphar's house. You leave. You get away. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. I've heard many, many times that sin is sin, and there is no difference in sin, and one sin is not worse than another sin. And in a way, yes, that is true. I mean, one sin will condemn our souls. It doesn't matter what it is. Adam and Eve were removed from the presence of God for eating a piece of fruit. Sin is sin. But there is something different about the sin of fornication. The Bible says so. It is a sin against our own physical body. So there is something different about this sin. Your body does not belong to you. I know that's not what you hear from the world. From the world we hear, it's my body, it's my choice. I can do with my body whatever I want to. Wrong. Your body belongs to God. Your body belonged to God before you became a Christian. Your body certainly belongs to God now that you have become a Christian. You're not free to do with your body whatever you want to do with it, and you certainly aren't free to go and join it to someone else through the act of sexual immorality. Sexual purity protects your body. It protects your body against disease. Can you believe that we turn on the television now and here are these commercials for drugs, for AIDS and HIV? I thought we took care of that back in the 1980s. Back when I was a teenager, we learned how that disease was spread and how to stop that. And here we've got to go through it all again. Maintaining sexual purity will protect your body from disease, and it will protect your body from being misused for someone else's pleasure. Protect your body. Keep yourself pure while you are dating. Here's another way that purity helps you. Purity helps to protect your reputation. Back in the 1980s, when I was in middle school and I was in high school, there were boys and there were girls in my class that did not have good reputations. These boys and girls were not looked upon with respect. And they didn't overcome these reputations. These reputations stuck with them. They had to live with them. A number of years ago, when we were living somewhere else, there was a sister in Christ who was younger than Christy and I, and she shared with me what her grandpa had told her about what we're talking about here. And I wanted to share this story with you. There was a teacher who brought roses for the students in his class. And he brought enough roses for every student to have one rose plus one. There was one extra rose. And in the class, he took one of the roses out of the vase and he gave it to the students. And he encouraged the students to examine that rose, to smell that rose, to handle it, to touch it, and to feel the texture of the stem and of the leaves and of the petals of that rose, and to pass it around. And all of the students handled that rose and inspected that rose. And then it was put back in the vase. And at the end of the class, he told the students that they could each take one rose with them. Guess which rose was left behind? Nobody wanted the rose that had been passed around. And here's the point. If you allow yourself to be the rose that is passed around, you'll be the rose that is passed over. If you allow yourself to be the one that is handled and touched by everyone else, then when it comes time for someone to take their rose for keeps, they're not going to want you because you've been passed around. Don't allow yourself to be the rose that is passed around. In the Sermon on the Mount again, in Matthew chapter 5, and at verse 13, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." And the point that Jesus is making here is that you have your reputation protected. Just like you protect your heart, protect your reputation. Because once you lose it, you can't get it back. Once you lose it, it is gone. What happens to your influence, young Christian? What happens to your influence for the cause of Christ if the behavior of your dating life does not reflect your profession to be a Christian? What do we call a person like that? We call a person like that a hypocrite. A hypocrite has lost their influence and lost their reputation. Here's something else about your reputation. Part of your character as a Christian is to be trustworthiness. As we are studying the fruit of the Spirit in our 9:30 hour, we're going to get to the character of faithfulness. If you're a Christian, you're going to be expected to be faithful. That is, to be trustworthy. That's a part of your reputation. Purity, while you are dating, will protect your trustworthiness. Can your parents trust you to go out on a date and not shame them while you're out on a date? I know you might be looking forward to dating because you're going to get to go out on your own and leave mom and dad at home, right? And you get to go out. Well, guess what? They might not be going out on the date with you, but that doesn't mean they're not going to find out what you've done on your date. Because this world is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And you're going to encounter people and you're going to run into people while you're out on a date who know your mom and dad. And they're going to be able to tell them what they've seen you doing. And we've got social media running rampant, and you're going to have people taking pictures and posting things. Mom and dad are going to be able to scroll through and see these things. Can your parents trust you to go out on a date and not shame them? Can they trust you to go out on a date and not get into trouble? Can they trust you to go out on a date and not bring home a grandchild to them 9 months later? Let's look at the flip side of that. Can your date's parents trust you with their child? Can they trust you to take their child out on a date? Can they trust you to respect them with one of their most prized possessions, their child? Purity protects your reputation. No sin, no regrets. There's something else to consider. Purity protects your future. I know if you're a teenager or you're almost a teenager, these 7 years between 13 and 20 look like eternity. But you're in a room full of people who are ready to tell you they will fly by in a flash. And they will end up being a very small part of your life. An important part of your life. The decisions you make in your teenage years are going to have an impact on your future, but it's a very small part of your life. Don't throw away your future to enjoy this little fraction of a life that you have as a teenager. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. The decisions that you make in your youth will follow you for the rest of your life. And if you lower your standards in order to have some fun and to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin while you're dating as a teenager, you could spend the rest of your life reaping a harvest that you regret. We wouldn't want that to happen to you. We wouldn't want you to have to go through that. Purity protects your future. And let's think of somebody else here. Let's think of somebody here that you don't even know yet. Purity, while you are dating, protects the rights of your future spouse. Let's talk about that person for just a moment. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. The book of Hebrews at chapter 13 and at verse 4 says, marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Young people, I want to tell you something that you're very likely not going to hear from the world. As a matter of fact, the world would laugh at this idea, would scorn and ridicule this idea, but I'm telling you from the Word of God, something that is the truth. Your future spouse has the right to expect to be your first and only sexual partner. That's a right that they have. That's a right that they have from God. And when you go out on a date and you decide that you're going to go all the way, you're giving something that belongs to somebody else, to someone that has no right to it whatsoever. You're actually stealing. You're actually taking something that belongs to someone else and giving it to someone that has no right to it whatsoever. Chances are, as a teenager, you don't even know your future spouse yet. Christy and I didn't know each other until we were in our 20s. We had no idea who we were when we were teenagers. I was growing up in Arkansas. She was growing up in Hamilton, Ohio. It's by the providence of God that we ever met each other at all. Chances are you don't even know who your spouse is as a teenager. But you need to be thinking about that person because you owe something to that person. Your purity. Your purity. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I want to read a couple of these verses again. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. One flesh. Sex is something that God has given us to be fulfilled and enjoyed in the marriage relationship. not outside of it, and not prior to it. Not when you think you've fallen in love, not when you've set the date, but when that date has come. God has given us that to enjoy and to fulfill, but only in marriage. There is something, the Bible tells us, there is something about this act that helps to form the bond, making the one man and the one woman one flesh. What happens when you use a sticker too many times? When Paige and Isaac were young, we were living in Texas. They went to a pediatric dentist, and he was a great dentist. And every time after they got their checkup or got some dental work done, he had rolls and rolls of stickers. And they got to pick a sticker after every checkup or every visit. So they'd say, I want that sticker, and they'd tear off that sticker. And sometimes if that wasn't the last sticker on the roll, they'd pull it down to the one they wanted, and they'd tear that off for him. And, I mean, they were extremely nice to him. So they get that sticker, and we go out, and we get in the van, and we get them buckled up in the van. And I tell you, before we even got out of the parking lot, that sticker was torn off the paper. The paper was thrown away, and they'd put that sticker on themselves. And, well, they'd get tired of it there because they couldn't see it. So they'd take it off, and they'd put it on the back of the seat in front of them. And they'd look at that there for a while, and then inevitably they'd take that sticker off, and they'd put it on each other. Her sticker's on me. You know, it'd be one of those trips. It's a 20-mile trip back to our house. Well, by the time we got back to the house, that sticker, brand-new sticker, wouldn't stick on anything. Why? Because it'd been stuck on everything, and the glue wasn't there anymore. The glue was gone. Young person, when you get married, the way God has designed it, you and your future spouse are going to become one. But how can you expect for that bond to be strong and to hold if you don't have any glue left and you've wasted it on your dates? You've wasted it so that it doesn't hold anymore. Divorce is at a rampant pace in our society, has been for a long time. And there are many things that contribute to a divorce. Why would you want to ruin what God has given you in His beautiful design, something that is meant to hold you and your spouse together for the rest of your life? So young people, I'm going to tell you to do something that you need to be reminded of from time to time. Start thinking about someone other than yourself. Think about your future spouse. Don't take that which belongs to them and give it away to someone that doesn't deserve it. Purity protects the rights of your future spouse. And purity protects your relationship with God. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. If as a young Christian you decide to go all the way, you have committed a sin. Well, it's a sin, just like any other sin. Yes, it's a sin. But it's a sin that separates you from God. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. And your soul is lost until you confess and repent and seek God's forgiveness. Back when I was a teenager, I hadn't been a Christian very long. And there was a young lady, a sister in Christ, a couple years younger than me in school. And I didn't know her before I became a Christian. And I didn't know her as a Christian. By the time I became a Christian, again, she's a couple years younger than me, she started dating someone that I knew wasn't a Christian. And I remember that on one Sunday morning during the invitation song, she and her mom and dad came forward, tears rolling down all of their eyes. She'd gotten herself pregnant. And I remember the impact that that had on her. Her mom and her dad were devastated. And it impacted the entire congregation. She confessed her sin, and she asked for forgiveness, and she received forgiveness from that entire congregation. Actually, it turns out very well. She ended up converting the young man and marrying him, and they raised their family in the Lord's church. But I wouldn't want any of you to have to go through what she had to go through that Lord's Day morning. Wouldn't want anyone to have to go through that again. Purity will above all protect your relationship with God. And that has to come first. Whether you're a teenager or you're an 80-something or anywhere in between, your relationship with God has to come first. Purity protects every part of you. God's given that to us for a reason. Now, what I want to do is take these thoughts about purity protecting you as you are dating, and I want to consider some dating guidelines. Let's address some questions that are logically going to come up from teenagers as you're considering dating, as you're considering doing this in this time of your life. And let's do it again from this point of view of placing the emphasis upon purity. Number one, why do you want to date? Why do you want to date? Maybe you don't want to date. Maybe you're not interested in that. And that's okay. That's okay. But if you are interested in dating, why do you want to date? Is it so that you can have fun, so that you can enjoy that part of youth and being young? That's okay. We said that's okay. That can be an exciting part of being young. But remember, you don't do it at the expense of your purity. And you don't do it at the expense of your relationship with God. But if you're wanting to date because you found someone that you want to date and you want to do that for the right reason, then that's fine. But maybe you're wanting to date because everyone else is doing it. You want to date because everybody else is dating. Everybody else has got a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Everyone else has someone. And you're tired of being this guy up here on the left. You're tired of being that third wheel. You're tired of being that person that doesn't have anybody. I want to tell you, there were a lot of Friday and Saturday nights in the 1980s when I was a teenager that I was like this fella up here. I didn't go out on a lot of dates. And it wasn't because I didn't want to date. And it wasn't because I didn't ask. I had a hard time finding people, women, that young girls that wanted to go out with me. I tell you, that's not any fun. It's not any fun feeling like no one wants you. And if you dwell on that, that can take you to a very dark place. So I would encourage you not to dwell on that. But the flip side of that, don't date just anybody just to be dating. Don't do that. So why do you want to date? You need to think about that. Now here's another question. When can you start dating? As a teenager, when can you start dating? You know, the Bible answers that question. The answer is in the Bible. It's right here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. When your parents say you can. That's when you get to start dating. When your parents say that you can. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. As soon as you are mature enough to understand the need to maintain your purity, and you're mature enough to put some things in place so that you will maintain and protect that purity, then you're old enough to date, and no one's going to know that better than your parents. Your parents know you better than anyone. They love you more than anyone. They're the ones who get to make that call. So you can date when your parents say that you can date. Who should you date? Who should you date? Well, you should date someone that you want to be with. You should date someone that you would have fun with. You should date someone that you are attracted to. But that should be somebody who's going to help you to remain pure. That should be somebody that understands the importance of maintaining purity and will help you with that. If you choose to date someone who shares your values and shares that goal and that conviction, then you're on the same team. And it's going to be a lot easier when you encounter those desires, because they're going to come up. It's going to be a lot easier when you're on the same team than if you're dating someone who isn't. Do you have to date a Christian? If your parents say you do, then you do. But I trust that your parents understand that just because someone claims to be a Christian doesn't mean that they are intent on remaining pure. You need to choose to date someone that you're attracted to, someone that you want to spend time with, but someone who's going to help you to remain pure, because dating a worldly person poses obvious dangers. Your Bible still says evil company corrupts good habits. That verse is still there. So date someone who's going to help you to stay pure. Don't date a guy like this guy up here. He needs a haircut. Don't bring home somebody like that. And the girl isn't much better. I don't know if you can tell, but she's got green fingernails. She's got to be... got to have something wrong with her. And obviously this picture was pre-pandemic, because we don't do this anymore, right? Be selective. You're a child of God. You deserve the best. Be selective in who you're going to date. Where are you going to go on your date? What are you going to do? Your parents are going to want to know. So you better have this figured out. They have a right to know. So you better have it figured out. If your goal is to maintain sexual purity, then you're going to want to avoid places and situations that will arouse these appetites. And of course, you're going to want to avoid places and situations where these appetites can be fulfilled. Always have something to do. Date as a group. Go out and date as a group. You can be alone even when you're with other people. You can be alone. You can be in a place where you and your date are talking privately, even in a room with other people. But don't ever go and be where it's just the two of you alone. Don't ever do that. That's just asking. That's just asking for temptation to come. So protect yourself. Know what you're going to do. Know where you're going to go. Your parents have a right to know this. And let's ask this question. How much physical contact is acceptable while you are dating? I do not subscribe to the idea that there should be no physical contact until the two kiss at their wedding. There are some who subscribe to that idea. That all through dating, there should be no physical contact. The first kiss should be after they've changed their wedding vows. You've seen people on TV who have espoused that idea, and it's backfired on them. Their children have not turned out the way that they should. That I believe that's unrealistic in our culture today. Hey, if your parents say that's the standard, then that's the standard. That's the standard. I believe it's unrealistic if a young man and a young woman are spending time with each other, they're attracted to each other, they're going to be holding hands. They're going to put arms around each other. They're going to hug and, yeah, they're probably going to kiss sometime. These things may be acceptable, but they certainly awaken lust. And you need to be aware of that. The Song of Solomon repeatedly says, "Do not awaken love before its time." And if you do too much too quickly in your dating, you'll do just that. How about making out? How about things like that? Well, again, how much of that can you do and remain pure? How much of that would you do with Jesus in the room with you? Because guess what? He is. You may leave your mom and dad at home, but you're taking the Lord with you. He's there. How much of that would you do if he was in the room with you? I talked earlier about when you go out on a date, you need to conduct yourself in a way that doesn't bring shame back on your mom and dad. If you go out and you act like you and your date are in heat, and everybody can see your sucking face out in public, what kind of a message is that going to send back home to mom and dad? Do you know of any married couple that you respect that you've seen act like that in public? No. Respectable people don't act like that in public. You don't act like that either. You know, Christy and I learned when our children were getting a little bit older, we learned that if we wanted to get them out of the room, all we had to do was just start kissing each other. They were gone. They didn't want to see that. No one wants to see that. You shouldn't be acting like that. We are to, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, you are to conduct yourself in a way that's worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that includes when you are out on a date. So you need to remember these things. Youth is an exciting time of life. It passes very quickly. It may seem like it doesn't now, but you're in a room full of people who will tell you, yes, it does. It goes by very quickly. So enjoy your youth. If done with a commitment to remain pure, I believe dating can be a fun and fulfilling experience. It's a time for you to learn more about the person that you're dating, and it's a time for you to learn more about yourself. Dating helps with that as well. But if it's done without a regard for maintaining your purity, then dating can result in disappointment and frustration and heartache and sin and guilt and reproach and shame. Young Christian, you need to remember who you are while you're out on a date. And remember that we all reap what we sow. I thank you for your kind attention. If you have any questions about any of these things, I'd be glad to talk with you. I know there are any number of people here who'd be glad to talk with you about these things. Talk with your parents about these things. They are the ones who are calling the shots in your life, and that's the way it ought to be. So talk with your parents about these things as well. But thank you so much for giving your attention to this study. If you're not a Christian, not yet a child of God, you need to become one. You need to become one so that you can be pure before God. And you're made pure before God by your sins being washed away with the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's available to you if you'll obey the gospel. If you'll repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized in water to have those sins washed away, you can be pure. You can become a child of God. If that is your interest, if that is your desire, we'd be glad to help you with that. Whatever your need is, would you come to the Lord, the great physician, as together we stand and sing this song.